on the count of three. Everybody run back to your fantasy. Hear that? That's spackle being mixed with a spackle knife. It's one of the many exciting sounds happening off air to get much more exciting sounds on air. There are always projects to keep this station in tip-top shape and maybe growing, so if you'd like to help in this endeavor, email Kaya, K-A-Y-A, at WGXC.org. I'm not Kaya.
WGXC founding underwriting support is provided by Hawthorne Valley Association, Harlemville, New York. A diverse educational nonprofit set on a 400-acre working farm in central Columbia County. Farm, farm store, early childhood through grade 12 Waldorf school, and more. For more information, www.hawthornevalleyassociation.org.
Listening to WGXC 90.7, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, and this month's edition of The Score, where we feature film and television soundtracks and scores. I'm Margot Pelletier.
And I'm Lisa Thomas.
Today, as you might have guessed, we're going to be featuring the music from the hit Showtime television series, The L Word, in honor of Gay Pride. We want to do a shout out to all our gay, queer, post-queer, and straight friends who help us stay true to ourselves. You've just heard Random Act, composed by Elizabeth Siff, and the L Word's theme song entitled The Way That We Live, written by Betty, which is a band that Elizabeth Siff is part of. Elizabeth was the series composer of the L Word from season 2 to season 6. The L Word was a mega popular Showtime television series about the joys, the traumas, the challenges, and the sex lives of a group of drop-dead gorgeous lesbian and bisexual friends living in L.A. Lisa did a pre-recorded interview with Elizabeth Siff, and here is Lisa's first question.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Sure.
Super. Can you talk a little bit about the process of actually writing the theme song with your band, Betty?
Yeah, the second year the network Showtime had decided that they wanted an actual theme song for the show. So there were four or five people that they actually went out to and asked for submissions. And so we were one of them. I mean, I don't know if you know the history of Betty, but, you know, we've been involved, pretty heavily involved in the gay, lesbian, bi, transgender community for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
from early on with the onset of AIDS and things like that, and we've always been very vocal about gay marriage, and, you know, pretty involved in the whole gay scene. So it was really great, and we were really honored that they came to us, and they liked our theme song and chose it. Now we play all over the world, and I mean, seriously, and we just played at Belgian Pride, and everybody was singing along to the song, and they were freaking out. Wherever we go, I mean, Latin America, Europe, we've gone to Russia, where people know all the words
right.
in the audience. So that's pretty great, and I think that's a testament
to the song.
To the song.
Yeah.
And also to the show.
Right.
You know, because it's now so closely connected to the show that it's, you know, you hear those first few chords and people get really excited. And to me, that's what it was all about, really, to connect people musically to the show. And I think it did that. And whether you liked the song or not, it didn't really matter. It was a connection to the show in
right.
one way or another, which it is now.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
So that was Elizabeth Ziff that you just heard. We talked to her last Saturday. So it was so great to hear Elizabeth's point of view there, and we'll be hearing more from her throughout the show. So The L Word, for those of you that missed the television series, was a trailblazing show about a group of chic lesbian and bi friends living in West Hollywood. The main couple of the series was Bette Porter, played by Jennifer Beals, and Tina Kennard, played by Laurel Holloman. The two women had many ups and downs, broke up, got back together, had a baby, you name it. Living next door to Bette and Tina were Shane McCutcheon, played by Catherine Moyning, the Lothario of the show. And I don't even know, Margot, can you say someone, like a woman is a Lothario?
Yeah, I think you can.
Anyway, Shane was, she was really a central piece also to the show. Living with Shane was Jenny Shetner, who was Margot's favorite character, played by Mia Krishner, an outlandish writer who everybody loved to hate. Especially as the series progressed. Everybody loved to hate her. You can't talk about The L Word without bringing up Alice Piazecki, played by Laisha Haley, and the only self-proclaimed bisexual of the bunch, and Dana Fairbanks, played by Erin Daniels, a pro tennis player. The favorite gathering place of the group was The Planet, owned initially by Marina Ferrer, played by Karina Lombard, in season one, and then taken over by Kit Porter, played by Pam Grier, and turned into a more of a nightclub in season two.
The show, during its six seasons, had many important themes. One thing you could always count on was a steamy sex scene. The scripts for the series explored many important issues surrounding gay, queer people's lives. And just to name a few, interracial gay relationships, artificial insemination, not being accepted by one's parents, one's partner not being accepted by one's in-laws, transsexuality, reassignment surgery, and male privilege. The other wonderful thing about the show was the scripts were actually written by many different writers. So this, too, was an opportunity for many writers to explore these very important themes. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, Elizabeth Ziff actually participated in some of the writing. Is that true, Lisa?
Yes, Elizabeth was one of the series producers and one of the writers on the show. Before Elizabeth brought her amazing talents to the series as the show's composer, The L Word was on air for an entire first season of 13 episodes. The next song, entitled The Pleasure Dome, by Marianne Faithfull, was the first song that ever played in the series. It played over the opening, so the initial images that you saw of the show in the show pilot episode while we watched a series of panoramic aerial views of the LA skyline.
I got so much love, so much more, so much more love to give. I got so much more, so much love, so much more love left to give. So much pleasure pulls me like I never saw. I have never seen you look like this before. So
So we just played The Pleasure Dome by Marianne Faithfull and The Genius by The Murmurs. For those of you who don't know, The Murmurs were a band formed in 1991 by Laisha Haley, who played Alice on The L Word, and we thought she was genius. So it was formed by Laisha and Heather Grody. Laisha and Heather were students at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City. They had a cult following in the East Village club scene in the 90s and ultimately put out four records. So if you don't know their work, you should really try to check it out.
Yes, hi. We just want to say that today, this is our Gay Pride show. We're featuring the music from the Showtime television series The L Word and the amazing talents of Elizabeth Ziff, the series composer.
So back to Laisha Haley, right, Margot?
Yeah, so as mentioned, Laisha Haley, played by Alice Piazecki in The L Word, she was actually one of the kookiest characters, a real thinker, but also very funny. And in the show, she develops this chart that actually, in my opinion, takes Facebook one step further, in that it charted the 5 degrees of separation between lesbians by charting their sexual encounters.
So here's a song that played, I think, when we were seeing the chart on The L Word. So for those of you that know the show, this is going to make a lot of sense. And if not, you're going to enjoy the song regardless.
I know a guy named Willie. Willie goes with Tilly. Tilly goes with Millie. What a ball. This is not dirty, it's the way I say it. I know a guy named Joey. Joey goes with Molly. Maui goes with Jaime, and Jaime goes with Sadie, and Sadie goes with A.B., and A.B. goes with Davy, and Davy goes with Howard, and Howard goes with Charlotte, and Charlotte goes with Shirley, and Shirley goes with Pearly, and Pearly goes with Yetta. What a drag, what a drag. I'm not mad at you. Don't be mad at me. I'm not mad. I'm not mad, I'm not mad, I'm too hip to get mad, 'cause I know a guy, it should happen already. I know a guy named Solly. Solly goes with Molly, Molly goes with Charlie, and Charlie goes with Ollie, and Ollie goes with Eddie, and Eddie goes with Teddy, and Teddy goes with Freddy, and Freddy goes with Jackie, and Jackie goes with Blackie, and Blackie goes with Irving, and Irving goes with Seymour, and Seymour goes with Sydney, and Sydney goes with Melvin, and Melvin goes with Marvin, and Marvin goes with Terry, and Terry goes with Jerry, and Jerry goes with Slimy, and Slimy goes with Maishi, and Maishi goes with Vito, and Vito goes with Guido, and Guido goes with Sammy, and Sammy goes with Manny, and Manny goes with Jaime. What a drag, what a drag. I'm not mad at you. Don't be mad at me. I'm not mad, I'm not mad, I'm not mad, I'm too hip to get mad, 'cause I know a guy, it should happen already. I know a guy named Harold. Harold goes with Sarah, Sarah goes with Irving, and Irving goes with Marty, and Marty goes with Vivi, and Vivi goes with Cuddles, and Cuddles goes with Susie, and Susie goes with Sammy, and Sammy goes with Tiny, and Tiny goes with Jimmy, and Jimmy goes with Timmy, and Timmy goes with Johnny, and Johnny goes with Donnie, and Donnie goes with Alani. Aloha, oi, aloha. I know a girl named Shirley. Shirley goes with Helen, and Helen goes with Janie, and Janie goes with Mamie, and Mamie goes with Angelo, and Angelo goes with Robin, and Robin goes with Jaime, and Jaime goes with Seymour, and Seymour goes with Georgie, and Georgie goes with Orgy. I'm not mad at you. Don't be mad at me. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm too hip to get mad, 'cause I know a guy. He likes to shake, rattle, and roll. Shake, shake, rattle, and roll. Shake and rattle, and roll, and shake, shake, rattle, and roll, and shake and rattle, and roll, and roll, and roll, and roll, and roll, and rock, rock and rock and rock, rock and rock, rock and rock and rock and rock, rock Elvis Presley around the block, 'cause I know a guy. Well, all right, okay, well, all right, I'm in love with you, well, all right, Joe Williams, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. I know a gal that lives up on the hill. I know a gal that lives up on the hill. She has three French poodles and they never sit still. Well, all right, tick, 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 well, all right, chop, 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 well, all right. Well, all right, well, all right, well, all right, 'cause I know a guy. I know a guy. I know a guy. His name is Willie.
So again, that was Frances and Her Friends by Frances Faye. That was played, I think, as the last song in episode 113. So the last three songs you heard, the Pleasure Dome, Genius by the Murmurs, and the Frances Faye and Her Friends, were all part of season one before Elizabeth Ziff was on as the series composer. So for those of us who followed the L Word, it was really clear to hear how the music under Elizabeth Ziff's direction shifted in the second season when she got on board. Most obviously from when you hear the theme song right at the top of the show, and her band Betty composed that and did that song. The next few songs that we're going to play now are from the second season. So the first one we're going to hear is from the band. It's the song Brother from the band The Organ, and it played in episode 202. And we're going to hear from Elizabeth Ziff in a little bit, so stay tuned for her as well. Thank you. So you just heard the song Brother by the Canadian indie pop band The Organ out of Vancouver, BC.
One of the great things about having Elizabeth Ziff as the composer on the show was how she was able to incorporate her band Betty into the series. The band is comprised by many talented musicians, Elizabeth Ziff, of course, being one of them, but two others that I'd like to mention: Allison Palmer and Amy Ziff, Elizabeth's sister. These three women are not just gifted musicians, but they're very gifted vocalists. They're also stunning, and they do this electric performance. So if you have an opportunity to see the band Betty, be sure you go out for that. The following songs, It Girl, played by the band Betty, and Some Kind of Wonderful, which features Pam Grier, who also plays Kit Porter, the sister of Bette Porter, on The L Word, with the band Betty, were played back-to-back in episode 203 when Kit Porter, the new owner of the planet, has a party to celebrate the opening of her new club.
Girl, and it can happen to you. Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Got a sweet little woman like mine. Got to be somebody. I know there's somebody. Got a sweet little woman like mine. Can I get a witness? 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 Yeah, yeah. Some kind of wonderful. Some kind of wonderful. Yes, she is. Some kind of wonderful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some kind of wonderful. Some kind of wonderful. You know what I'm talking about. Some kind of wonderful. Some kind of wonderful. Some kind of wonderful. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I feel like over the course of the seasons from, I guess you were there from season two to season six doing the music, that the direction of the music changed a lot. I feel like the show changed a lot in that time, but do you feel like the way you were composing music changed?
That's a good question. I think the music, yeah, it did. It changed a little bit here and there. The first season that I worked on it, I based a lot of things on the new theme song, because I was doing that more like an old 40s or 50s movie where, you know, there's one theme song, like The Days of Wine and Roses, and you, and throughout the film, it's like the sax player on the street is playing it, and then you put a nickel in the jukebox, and the jukebox is playing the song, and, you know, somebody's humming it in the kitchen, and that was something that I was really, I wanted to pay an homage to that kind of film. So in season two, I had a lot of references, whether they be played on a theremin or, you know, played on a punk version of it or a jazz version in French of it or whatever. It was based on the theme, on the new theme song from Betty.
Right.
Which is the band I'm in. You know, I had to jump on that, so I was able to do a lot of different versions of that and use live music. And whether you know it's there or not, like I had James Sibri sing very ethereally. She sort of sang a couple of chords from the theme song, and I used that in a scene with Dana and Alice, and it was really fun, actually. And then as time went on, I didn't use it the third season. I used more electronica and things like that, and less live music, unless I was playing it like guitar or vocals. But throughout, I think it's pretty consistent, hopefully, the music.
Yeah, yeah. No, I noticed all the different versions of the themes, especially on the CD that you guys put out for the second season sessions. And this is really fun to hear all those different versions, like the jazz version or the punk version. I think there's like a French and a Spanish version, so they're really, really great. And
Daphne Rubin Vega actually sang the Spanish version of that and did the translation. My sister sang the French version, and Judith Azoulay did the translation in French. And it was really fun, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just really interesting to me. And to do little subtle things that people, if they really cared to listen, they would know it. And also the people that I used and the music that I used was almost all women.
That's great.
And it was, thanks. Yeah, I wanted to you know, be true to the show itself. And I sought out a lot of gay, bi, and transgender artists themselves to actually use in the score, and even though people don't know it, that's something that I'm really proud of that I was able to do, to really reach out to the community that supposedly the show was talking about, and utilize the music. And people were very responsive, and you know, I was very lucky to get a lot of people to send stuff in and to use their stuff for very little money. Or and I actually actively went on MySpace at the time and looked for people who I didn't know, like, you know, transgender rappers and things like that. And I And people did send stuff in. And it wasn't exclusively gay. It was also people who were, that the community liked. Like, I used Goldfrapp on the show, and I used the B-52s, and who are friends. And so that was able to happen, you know, with that. Peaches, of course, is bisexual. And Betty, of course, is, you know, some of us are gay, some of us aren't, and that kind of thing was Toshi Regan, you know, people who would never be on a television show who were representing the community and who were really great. So for me, it was like being this great DJ, which I've been, and to be able to turn all these people on to some great music, like Nona Hendrix, and things that maybe people didn't really know about. And it was really exciting. It was very, very exciting to be able to have that sort of a wide palette and to be able to turn people on to music who enjoyed the show. And a lot of people, you know, wrote to me and thanked me. And a lot of people, like the Clicks and things like that, they were introduced to a whole huge audience that never would have seen them before. And so that was really, that was exciting to be in that position of power, you know, to be able to help musicians. And because that's something that has happened to me in my career, and I was lucky to be able to do that for a lot of other people.
Yeah, no, it was really great, too, as, Margot and I watched the series, and one of the things that Margot would always say as we were watching this, like, this is such great music as part of this series. Like, we would look forward to the new albums that came out because we were like, these are the best CDs coming out now, like, with, you know, all these musicians that a lot of whom we weren't aware of. So it was really, I feel like, an offering to the fans, but also, you know, for the musicians as well, really great and kind of a rare thing. You know, you don't get that opportunity in that many, television series to hear that kind of wide array of different musicians' work.
Yeah, it was pretty rare. And because I was also the producer that was in charge of the mixing at the end of the show, mm-hmm. we were able to hear the music, you know. And I think that's changed, actually, in television. People are using louder music in the in series. You know, it's not just very, very, you know, light in the background like it was in the 90s and stuff like that. I think it's much more prevalent. Music is much more part of the shows, at least some of the newer shows that you're seeing. So I think that we had a jump on that, which was really cool.
So if you're just tuning into The L Word, that was Elizabeth Ziff from a pre-recorded interview last weekend talking about composing for the series The L Word. We're going to play a song now that she composed, and then a song called Boys Want to Be Her about the character Shane from episode 404.
Thank you. yes I do. The way you rock non-stop, girl, you got the chops. Flip flop, she bops, self taught. Your licks are hot. Her lyrics heave, kids receive, crawling up the sleeve. Parents peeve, can't conceive that her deed will never leave. And we love it.
So you just heard two songs which represent the character Shane on the L Word. The first, which was called Shane, was composed by Elizabeth Ziff, the series composer, with Minnow Gorey on drums, Allison Palmer on bass, Tony Salvador on guitar, and vocals by David Driver. The second, Boys Wanna Be Her, is a song by the band Peaches. Listening to the two songs back-to-back is really cool because you're getting an idea of the bundle of contradictions that was the character Shane. Shane was played by Catherine Moyning, and she's a character that's very androgynous and also terrified of intimacy, but at the same time, she's sort of a sex addict. And she also is the character within the show that's the most sensitive to her friends' needs.
If you're just tuning in to this edition of The Score, we just wanted to let you know that we're going to be running a special that's a half hour long today in honor of Gay Pride. So if you're a fan of Jackie Thomas's show, Sound of Freedom, he's going to be coming on at 12:30 p.m. So please hang on for Jackie, and he's got his wonderful show coming on, and there'll be a great hour and a half long show for Jackie's show starting from 12:30 to 2 today. So thank you, Jackie, for being so gracious and letting us run an extra half hour.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, listeners-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia County.
This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, New York, welcoming you, the listeners, to our new community radio station. I invite you to listen to our Haitian Creole program, Lile Litan, every Sunday afternoon from 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. with your host, Pauline Murphy and Gregory Sanon, known as Azuke Legba. Two native Creole speakers who will bring you Haitian news, local happening, cultural music, and more. Restez branchés.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Homespun Occasions, Old Time Square and Contra Dancing with caller and live fiddle music for special events, community celebrations, and school programs. www.homespun.biz or 1-800-908-HOME.
This is the way that we live. Whoa, 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 whoa. This is the way that we love.
Si fiat alono, qui se la jumacho, si nana.
Was the L word theme song in French, translated by Judith Azoulay, with Allison Miller on drums, Allison Palmer on bass, Tony Salvatore on guitar, and Tanya Darby on trumpet, and sung really beautifully in French by Amy Ziff.
Yeah, and just for you to know out there, there's an entire CD comprised of different versions of the theme to the L word, and they're amazing. It's a wonderful CD, so look for that.
It's the second season session CD, so it's a really great CD.
Yeah. One of the things that we loved about the L word, aside from it being the first television series to feature lesbian women in prominent roles, and obviously finally being able to see a representation each week of gay women on television, was the way the show incorporated some more abstract sequences within the series. These sequences were often developed in the cold open of each episode, and particularly were developed in the writing sequences, which happened early on in the series with the Jenny character. These sequences were often able to get a glimpse into Jenny's psyche and into the way in which she puts a story together. And we're able to see artful television being made. We actually asked Elizabeth Sith about this, and you're about to hear Lisa's interview with her where she's answering this question.
Some of the music composed and some of the music selected in the many scenes in the L Word seemed to be what carried the intended message to the audience even more than the visual action being shown. This was especially true when the viewer was invited to go inside the character Jenny's head in a lot of the writing sequences, into her imagination when she was in the act of writing. Can you talk about this kind of hyper role that was assigned to the music?
Yeah, I can. when I was speaking with Eileen Chaykin, who created the show with a couple of other people, my intention was to create a character with the music. And that's something that she was interested in. So that's one of the reasons that I did start composing, because a lot of my stuff is, you know, it's not like secondary. It's more like it's a part of the story. I wanted to help push the story along. And, you know, it seems to work really well. So that's something that I didn't want to force the emotion with music.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted more to enhance it, or to create an emotion, not to tell you what to feel,
mm-hmm.
but to sort of guide the viewer. And I think a lot of times the best composing in film or in television is when you don't really notice it.
Exactly.
You know? And I hope that's something that I was able to do, you know, in the 5 seasons that I actually composed on the show. So I loved doing it. I thought it was really fun. And also because I was a writer on the show, I had more of an insight into the character. So I thought that really worked well. It worked more like a film than TV.
Music you just heard was composed by Elizabeth Ziff and was entitled Jenny Riding 5 Circus, featuring beatbox artist Adam Matta, Robert Mastriani on electric sitar, Allison Miller on the udu drum, and vocals by Easy Girl Elizabeth Ziff.
Thank you.
So that was Jenny writing Six Venus de Mylar from episode 207. So some really great music there from Elizabeth Ziff.
We wanted to share a quote from Eileen Chaikin, the creator of the L Word, with you, a quote from March 2005 about working with the composer Elizabeth Ziff. Elizabeth's musical score brought a dimension to the way in which we tell stories that enhanced and sometimes challenged my initial conception of them. Her musical score added nuance to the scenes and characters. Occasionally, it lifted moments that were sagging. Sometimes it rescued my intention, and sometimes it showed me a subtext that I hadn't known was there, but that turned out to be more enthralling than I had initially intended. In some sequences, it created mood. In others, attitude. It is fairly unusual for a TV show to release a second CD that exclusively features musical score created especially for the show. But this score, meaning the score for the series The L Word, is highly unusual. Unusual in the way in which it was produced and recorded and mixed into the show. Highly unusual in that it uses real instrumentation and vocals as well as electronic. Unusual and exciting in its use of voice as a scoring element and words as percussion. Unusual in its boldness and willingness to break with convention, and unusual in its scope and diversity and stature of the artist Elizabeth Ziff, the composer of the show, gathered to perform on the show.
Did you work really closely with the different, I know there were different directors for the different episodes. Did you talk to them about the direction of the episodes, or did you kind of have free rein? Like, how did it work in terms of you composing for the different episodes?
As far as composing, I had free rein. But I did speak with all the directors because, A, they were all really talented. They all had their own ideas. But the thing about directing with television versus movies, you know, you come in, you direct for, you do a pre-production for 4 days, then you direct for 8, and then you edit for 4, and then you're out of there. And, you know, you move on to different things. So directors in film have much more control over everything that's happening. But in television, it's more like the producers are more in control of things. You do your director's cut, and then the network comes in, and then the producer does their cut and things like that. So I wanted to be true to the director's vision, but also because it's an overall vision that all of the directors aren't aware of, I wanted to be, you know, keep that in mind as well with the production and the actual show in general. So I did speak with them, and we did have a lot of contact. But then as far as the music goes, a lot of directors came in with not my composition, but they came in with ideas about music and turned me on to some stuff. And then I turned them on to things. And so, I mean, in the end, it was sort of my final say, but I definitely got a lot of stuff from the directors. I mean, people like Bronwyn Hughes, who had a very strong sense of music and idea, were great to work with. And then other people didn't have so much of a sense of the music until they heard it. So that was cool. It was really collaborative and very educational and really fun. And for me, I love being turned on to new music, so that was great for me.
If you're just tuning into this edition of The Score, that was Elizabeth Ziff talking about working on the series, the Showtime series, The L Word, with some of the various directors that came on the series. So we're going to play Magic Tree by Kristen Price right now from episode 411 in the fourth season.
Bring it back to the middle and round again. Whip it up, shake it down, slide it back on in. Knocking on a hardwood like I know you should. You'll be shaking on the kitchen floor. Cooking up your TV dinner, Sunday afternoon center. Turn it off.
could do to ease his fascination. I've been climbing up the brick walls 10,000 feet tall. Just pull me over to the other side. Not another TV dinner, Sunday afternoon center. Tell me who's taking who for a ride. Who's taking who for a ride?
Was Magic Tree by Kristen Price. Kristen is an English singer-songwriter and producer. She released her first single, Magic Tree, on her debut album, Guts and Garbage, in 2007. Price was born in London, where she received classical training playing piano and singing in various choirs, and she moved to New York City in September of 2001.
How did you go about selecting, in a scene, like deciding that you were either going to compose music for that scene, or you were going to bring in like some original music that was by another artist?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times what's important to know when not to put in music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really the talent, because you can put in as much music as you want, but if having a scene be just the scene without any music at all and make that work, and you know that's going to work, I think that's important to know. Instead of just, you know, wall-to-wall music, because then you don't really hear the music anyway. Then it just becomes background. So it was different for everything. It's like writing a song or a set list in Deddy. You know, it depends on what you need in that song. Like if Amy, Allison, and I are sitting around and we're composing a song, we're writing it together or we're arranging it together, it all depends on what the song needs. You know, you feel it. You feel what the lyric wants. Does it want just a cello? Is that going to make the most emotional impact? Is that what's going to be true to the song? And I think that works in film and television as well. So I was coming from a basis already of working collaboratively with what's going to work with the song and the lyric and the moment, you know, what you want to give to the audience or not give.
Hey.
I'm Shane.
Hi, Shane. I'm Ariana.
Hey, Ariana.
I like what you're wearing.
Thank you.
What are you dressed for?
Myself. Yeah, girly sometimes, but mostly me.
So, you're gay?
Totally, yes.
You know, I was at a dinner the other night, and someone said that dykes are the new fags. What do you think about that?
I think people like to categorize things too much.
That was a soundbite from one of the scenes in The L Word with Shane McCutcheon and Ariana Huffington when Shane was cutting Ariana's hair. Thank you.
That was the song Melvin, composed by Elizabeth Ziff. And I think the point that she raised in the last question is so important. Certainly as an editor of film myself, I know it is a real challenge to not let music or sound fight with the psychological and emotional content of the scene that you're trying to convey. And she is so gifted at that. You know, she is a composer that can do a song like It Girl that just flies in your face, and then can do these other compositions with all these nuances that are so quiet that we can take the scene in a very different way. And the scene that last selection was accompanying was a scene in which the character Melvin, played by the amazing actor Ossie Davis, who plays the father of Bet and Kit in the series, is dying, and Bet brings him to her home for him to die there.
We're going to give you a couple announcements of gay pride events coming up in the next week or two here in Hudson and in the area. And then we're going to play one final audio clip with from the interview with Elizabeth Ziff, and one final song to sign out, and then Jackie Thomas will be up. But if you haven't marked your calendar already, a lot of you know that there's a lot of Hudson Pride events coming up next weekend. So make sure to check out all that's happening on the Hudson Pride website, www.hudsonpride.com. I think there's Sunset Cruises on the 17th, the Pride Parade with Isis Vermouth in attendance on the 18th, and an after party at Club Helsinki, where I think even our friend Retz is going to be performing on the stage over there. So make sure you get over to Club Helsinki to see all that on the 18th next Saturday.
There's also a film screening of Water Flowing Together, a film about the dancer Jacques Soto, with the filmmaker in attendance, Gwendolyn Cates. And that is at the Athens Cultural Center, which is 24 2nd Street in Athens, New York, and that'll be on June 18th.
And to finish up the month, Musty Chiffon is going to be back over at Club Helsinki with the Flesh Magnets on June 25th at 9 p.m. So make sure you get out for Musty. It's going to be a great show.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on now?
Yep. Betty has an album, I think, you can get it on iTunes. It's called Bright and Dark. And that's what we've been touring all over the world with that CD, and the single from that is Did You Tell Her? And that's been a really huge hit all over the place, which is really nice. And what we're doing now is we just signed a book deal, so we're doing a graphic novel based on our show Betty Rules that was off-Broadway, directed by Michael Greif. And we're in the process of looking for the right artist. And, you know, we're really active on Facebook because people want to find out what we're doing. We're touring all the time, and we're starting to write a new CD.
Great.
Yeah, so, you know, we're on Facebook, Betty Music, and that's the best way that we've been introing and communicating with our audience, especially because it's international. You know, I'm working on some other stuff, and we're all working individually, but mostly Betty just keeps rolling on. You know, we've been together for a long time, and supporting a lot of different causes and having fun, and
that's great. Well,
yeah.
I don't want to take up any more of your time. We so appreciate you speaking with us today, and I know that the listeners out there are going to be thrilled to hear your point of view and all your process and working on the show and everything. And thanks again for giving a call in to us.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm really happy and proud to have been a part of that groundbreaking show. I think it was a great opportunity and for everybody involved.
Yeah, no, the L Word was amazing. I mean, we miss it so much. Like, I don't know if there's any resurrection. I heard rumors for a while there was going to be like a film or something, or I know there was a reality show, but I don't even know if it's still on.
Yeah, I wasn't involved in the reality show at all, but I don't know about the movie. Let's hope it does.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, keep on rocking.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, Elizabeth.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So it was really great to talk to Elizabeth last weekend. If you or anyone you know that's a film composer or independent filmmaker and would like to have your work and your music featured on The Score, please send an email out to Margot and I, and the email is thescore44@yahoo.com.
We want to thank Elizabeth Ziff for taking the time to speak to us about her work, certainly for the contribution of her work, and also for all the efforts that she has made to bring gay and queer musicians to the public's attention. We also want to thank Eileen Chaykin for the enormous persistence that she put out toward getting the L Word made and on air, and for giving the lesbian experience some visibility. So until next month.
That's right, and making us kind of cool and chic and hip, which I don't know that we were ever seen that way on television
before. Don't leave out sexy.
And sexy, of course.
Okay, so be good to yourself, be better to your neighbor, and before you do anything, make sure you know the score. Help Happy Gay Pride out there.
Happy Gay Pride, Happy Gay Pride to Betty. I know they're going to be playing somewhere for Gay Pride. And here's one last song from them.
Did you tell her? Did you tell her? Did you tell her?
Did you tell her about us?
Did you tell her?
Did you tell her what we did?
Did you tell her?
Did you tell her I talked dirty?
Did you tell her?
Did you tell her that you screamed?
Did you tell her
we went somewhere dark so we couldn't be seen?
Did you tell her?
Did you?
Did you tell her
I got nasty?
Did you tell her?
Did you tell her you got wild? Did you tell her that we came and stayed for a while?
Did you
tell her?
Did you tell her?
Did you tell her what I asked you?